Hello, and welcome to the Bamboo Lab Podcast with your host, peak performance coach, Brian Bosley. Are you stuck on the hamster wheel of life, spinning and spinning, but not really moving forward? Are you ready to jump off and soar? Are you finally ready to sculpt your life? If so, you've landed in the right place. This podcast is created and broadcast just for you. All of you strivers, thrivers, and survivors out there. If you'd like to learn more about Brian and the Bamboo Lab, feel free to reach out to explore your true peak level at www.bamboolab3.com.
And I just want to share with you, as I always do, I want to thank all of you, my amazing guests, as well as the Bamboo Pack members out there who come aboard every week and listen to some amazing wisdom, some amazing experiences, and some amazing stories. You have all helped this podcast to grow so exponentially to the point now where I'm not going to give analytics anymore where we're located, because the podcast is spread across the world and it's all because of you. So I want to thank all of you for hitting that like button, subscribing, rating and reviewing us, and for most of all, for sharing it with three people every week. That is really what has helped us grow to the multiple countries that we're now in and across the world. So thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart. All right, I have a really quick, short, simple heart letter to read today that just came in a few days ago. And this letter is in reference to the podcast we aired a couple of weeks ago with retired Air Force Colonel Kim Campbell. And all it said was, "Hey, Mr. Bosley, I just listened to your podcast episode today. She's a badass." I'm like, great one, man. It's great. I'm like, couldn't agree more. She's a real badass. So, Kim, the world out there is starting to realize how much of a badass you really are. Speaking of badasses, we have a pretty cool guest on here today. I'm so excited to introduce her. We've had a chance to talk a few times and just gotten to know her through social media. We have Janice Godleski today. So Janice is a recovery transformation coach. She ended a troubled 15-year cycle of problem drinking and found freedom in sobriety. I mean, dude, and that's the best freedom there is, man. Now she's passionate about helping others feel empowered and unashamed around alcohol. She works alongside her coaching clients to help them create confident, sober lives of joy, passion, and purpose. And I love this phrase right here. I love it. Liberated from the obsession to drink. Liberated from the obsession to drink. This may be the most important episode we have yet done, because we all know, especially since the quarantines and COVID and the pandemic, the amount of alcoholism in this country and probably around the world has gone up dramatically. So it is of my greatest honor to introduce Janice Godleski. Welcome to the Bamboo Lab Podcast.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for that intro, and thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, it's an honor. It's an honor. And so everyone out there in the listening audience, let you know, Janice has a dog named Coda, very energetic dog named Coda, and she just inherited, I guess not inherited, she just rescued and adopted a cat whose new name is Winston. So you're going to hear dog bark. You're going to hear cats meow in the background. Just enjoy it, man. Just enjoy it. It's going to be fun. All right.
So, as you say that, they just both laid down, so fingers crossed.
Oh, I'll guarantee it's not for the whole podcast, Janice.
Yeah.
Well, we'll welcome them. My dog has barked. I've had so many dogs bark on this podcast. So it's just two friends talking over the phone. So that's what happens in real life.
Exactly.
All right. So Janice, let's start off. Let's introduce you to the podcast and to the listeners out there. Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood, your family, where you grew up? Just kind of give us a base of who we're talking to today.
All right. Well, as you said, I am in, I think you mentioned I'm in Florida. So right now I live in West Palm Beach, Florida with my dog Coda and our new little rescue cat. And I was raised in Florida. So Orlando is where my parents still are. I'm the oldest of five. And I went to UCF, go Knights, for preschool and for college. And if it weren't for UCF, I wouldn't be here because my parents met there. So we're big Knights fans in Orlando. And I did live in San Diego for a few years before getting sober. And then, yeah, it's been Florida the rest of the time. I'm the oldest of five. I was never really around alcohol growing up. You know, my parents might have a couple of drinks if friends came over, or, you know, it was very much once in a blue moon kind of thing. And my mom homeschooled all of us. She's incredible. Very impressive. Except I was only homeschooled 6th through 8th grade. And I'm completely fine with it now, but I do think I really resented the fact that I was homeschooled. I told myself and my parents that I wasn't a real kid because I didn't go to real school. So, and you never know, you know, what kind of imprint those kind of thoughts, you know, you have when you're small, like what they put on you. I know that, you know, from that point and all the way into adulthood and through my drinking career, I always craved freedom, you know, and I know when I was homeschooled, I felt confined to my little house, my family. Obviously we got out. I did go, I met my friends at the bus stop every day after school, you know, but it's just interesting, you know, to look back and think, okay, I wonder what thoughts I formed about myself and the world and who I was in the world that kind of led to, you know, my relationship with drinking. So it's a forever journey kind of figuring that stuff out. But yeah, I love my family. I'm a big family person. Love my family. I'm only about 2.5 hours away. So Coda and I make the trip at least once a month. We're actually headed there tomorrow.
I know you're very close with your brother, one of your brothers you had mentioned. I could see it on Facebook and the comments you made. So I saw that. So that's wonderful. You know, it's interesting, Janice, because, you know, the guests we bring on to the podcast are always people who are obviously ordinary people doing extraordinary things, which you clearly qualify for. And so many of the guests I bring on are big, strong, come from a close family. You know, maybe they weren't even close when they were younger. Maybe there was some trauma. Maybe there was some abuse. But most of them seem to have reconciled with their family by now, and they really love their family. I hear that a lot. Not everyone, not everybody, but it's a common thread in my podcast that family is always so vitally important to our growth and our maturity in life. Whether it's good or bad, sometimes we had dysfunction in our family that helped us mature, but sometimes it's the beauty we had in our family that helped us to mature and grow well too. So I'm glad you're close to your family.
Yeah, it's so important. They make such an imprint on our lives, for sure, for better or worse, you know, but yeah.
Couldn't agree more. My mother is 87. Yeah, 87 years old. And you wouldn't believe it. I mean, I called her this morning right before you and I talked, as I shared with you earlier. And I said, well, Mom, I'll call you later when I'm on the road driving back to my house. And she said, well, remember, I work today. So she still works. She works in the summer at a kind of a tour store, like a little boutique store. And then when that closes for the winter months, she volunteers her time every Wednesday at the Hope Chest. And she works there, wow. You know, and, you know, so it's a nonprofit organization. She just volunteers her time to help people out. And I mean, I look at her and I think, my gosh, if I can have half the spunk and character when I'm 87 years old, I would be so blessed, you know. So if our family does, my mother's made a big imprint on me for the past almost 56 years. And by the way, Janice, this podcast will air on my 56th birthday.
It will.
Yeah.
That is so amazing.
Isn't that? I just thought of that. It's going to air Monday, which is the 20th of March. So, yeah, I'm going to spend the weekend with my children and my grandson. So, I'm looking
happy,
forward to
happy
it.
Happy birthday. Thank that you. That is exciting.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate it. So, all right. So, let me ask you, Janice, in the last couple of years, you know, we've had this COVID, we had quarantine, and I know for a fact that alcohol has increased dramatically in that time. And I know during the COVID pandemic, my alcohol intake increased to the point where I started tracking it because I was thinking, I can't let this get out of hand. So I started tracking it, as I shared with you earlier. In that time frame, since COVID to today, the last 2 to 3 years, what do you think has been your greatest learning?
I think it just showed us a lot about the importance of mental health. I don't know. I think everything kind of came to the surface, you know, when we're home alone with ourselves, things pop up, you know, and I learned a lot about, you know, the importance of connection. I've met people on both ends of the spectrum, you know, some people who actually got got sober over quarantine, you know, when they were in their houses, which just blows my mind. I'm pretty sure if I was still, you know, I'm going on 5 years alcohol free now, but if I was still drinking then, I don't know if I'd be alive today, truthfully. But yeah, it's interesting. It just kind of shows people themselves, you know, when they're ready to see it. And I think in some ways that could be a blessing. For me, you know, I found out since getting sober, I've studied a lot about, you know, the brain chemicals and, you know, trauma and all the things related to, you know, why someone might be drinking or over drinking. And so I found out during quarantine that I had been undiagnosed ADHD for many years. And that explained a lot. So for me, that was a discovery I had about myself within, I guess, 3 years ago, because that was when I was probably quarantining. March? Is that right? March 2020?
I think it was.
Yeah. So it was probably around May or something. You know, a couple months in, I was studying for my life coaching certification. And I was like, I'm stuck in a house with just CODA and I'm not getting bored. But I can't sit down and study what I'm very interested in. Oh man, I got a lot of cleaning done though. But yeah, so I learned more about myself and my brain and what may have contributed to me turning to alcohol, kind of chasing the dopamine, if you will. I learned that people with ADHD have less available dopamine in the brain. So we're kind of wired for more, like just always chasing more. So whether that be food or games or drugs or alcohol or whatever the case may be, some people it's sex. It's very much a chase for that dopamine hit. So I think that explains, I was always a little puzzled, you know, because my parents don't really drink. And it just caused a lot of shame for myself, like thinking something's wrong with me. Like, why did I end up this way? You know, and having faith in God has really helped me too. I think my ADHD is kicking in. Stay with me. My thoughts are connecting. but having faith in God helped that shame a little bit. You know, I still felt shame, but it did give me faith that all the stuff with all my drinking, everything, even the really, really bad stuff all happened for a reason. And that kept me going, which brought me to sobriety. And then I still felt, you know, that whole what's wrong with me story would come up a lot. And getting diagnosed with ADHD, you know, is at least an explanation. You know, it explains it a little, and it certainly doesn't mean anything's wrong with me. It does explain why my brain is different and why, you know, my neurochemicals are different and things like that. So, yeah.
Hey, no,
where what, I was going with all of that.
No, I think you nailed it right on the head. Have you ever listened to anything by Andrew Huberman?
Yes, I love him. Don't you? He has a really good podcast. Well, he's done a really good one on ADHD and a really good one on alcohol.
He has. I have not listened to the ADHD one. I've listened to the one on marijuana, which was like 3 hours long, man, when it's in depth. And I listened to parts of the one, not all of it, partially the one on alcohol as well. His stuff, man, it talks about what you learned during the COVID era. You going into the brain and how the brain works and how things like ADHD can trigger that, or at least make it more difficult or easier for you to chase that dopamine because you have less dopamine. I love that phrase, by the way. You said that when we talked a few days ago on the phone, chasing the dopamine, because it's not even just alcohol. It's like you said, it's either sex or it's social media, or for some people, it's, you
sugar.
Know, it's sugar. Yeah. And now they're showing, they're sharing that some of these people who do these extremely high risk activities, like, you know, wall scaling without, you know, with untethered wall scaling, or people who do extreme sports, sometimes they say it's because they lack dopamine and they're trying to get that dopamine hit. I think that was even on Huberman, or it was on Rogan, Joe Rogan, one of the two, which I think both of those are two of the some of the greatest podcasts out there. So let me ask you, and I don't know if we didn't even prep this question at all. But what was the impetus to stay 5 years ago? I'm going to become alcohol free.
You know, it was just another just bad weekend. I was so over it. I know it makes it sound way more simple, but, you know, for years I had struggled, and it was ever since college. I was a binge drinker. I was a chronic binge drinker. So it was, you know, every time we went out and partied, I was like an endurance drinker. I would just continue and continue. And I would even wake up still feeling drunk. I think maybe my body metabolized it slower. I'm not really sure. I do know that when I drank, instead of, you know, getting sleepy or sick, it would energize me. So, it reacted physiologically different in my body than it did for a lot of people that I knew. But I've since met a lot of people that drink like me, which is, you know, it's at least nice to know I'm not alone. Like, none of us are alone. We've all got our stuff. And in this journey, I've certainly learned that whatever it looks like, you're not alone. So with my situation, you know, my drinking problem ebbed and flowed throughout my adult life for 15 years. So depending on where I was in my life, my work schedule, breakups, things like that, it was either really bad or maybe I wasn't drinking much often at all for a while. But I mean, I could be not drinking, you know, for weeks and weeks, but have one night and end up in jail. Like, mm-hmm. I've had issues with the law, you know? And so that's never somewhere I thought I would end up. It was weird. Things were, it was so not in line with who I thought I was and who I thought God created me to be. So there was such just a disconnect. It just didn't, I knew it wasn't right. I just didn't, I got to a really dark place when I was working in for a whiskey company in San Diego. And I had gone through a breakup, you know, I had free reign to the whiskey. And I just didn't, I was around people that drank a lot too, which normalized it. And I just didn't know how to get out of that hole, you know. I kind of didn't trust myself to be able to be successful, to figure it out, to stop, to live without alcohol. Just, it seemed incomprehensible at the time. I was trying to imagine my life without it, and I just really couldn't wrap my head around it. At that time, I got a tattoo that said, find joy in the journey. I got it off of this nautical shower curtain that my friend's mom had. But I would look at it all the time and be like, that's such a great phrase. And I knew deep down, I say that to say, I knew deep down that this was just part of the journey. I knew it was. It was a low in my journey. So there was that glimmer of hope. I just was kind of in a destructive pattern. And if you've been in one of those, you know what I'm talking about. It's like knowing that you don't want to keep doing what you're doing, yet you continue to do it, even though it's hurting you, it's hurting people you love, and everything like that, all the negative consequences. Like, and so I knew I wanted to get out of that cycle. So I moved back to Orlando and thought that, you know, my degree was in marketing. So I was working pretty much in marketing since before that. But I thought, well, maybe if I go back to school for nursing, you know, I can use my compassion and help other people, and that'll give me purpose. Because I was right. Like, purpose is something that drives us, that does keep us healthy. It helps immensely. And people in sobriety need purpose too. But if alcohol was still in my life, I wasn't going to be able to find, like, really step into who I was created to be, you know? So I was doing well in school for a while, and then the weekends turned into weekdays, and, you know, I found more people who were binge drinkers like me. And I had a really bad weekend one weekend, like one where I was just exhausted from drinking and just, I am so tired of this. And my dad heard me say, what did I say? Just basically, I want to stop and I don't know how. I'm just so tired. And so he and my mom sat me down and we talked about maybe doing something that we hadn't considered before. And we talked about inpatient treatment, like a whole 30-day program. And for years, you know, because of my style of drinking, we didn't coin me an alcoholic. And I don't think that's necessary anyway. It's just a word. But my dad couldn't understand, like, well, why can't you just stop? Like, you see that it's bad. Like, you know, most people who don't have this kind of relationship with alcohol don't really get it. Like, if it's this bad, just stop. Like, why can't you control it, kind of thing? But if you've been there, then you do understand that sometimes that's the nature of addiction. You know, you continue to do something that's really destructive, and until it really wears on you and people you love and that love you. So anyway, we decided, and that moment that we decided to go, that I would do inpatient, and I started calling places. Once the decision was made, I just felt a huge weight lifted. Mm. And I think we talked about this. I you know, it's something, I think it was like a combination of things that people need in order to have the obsession to drink lifted. And I do believe that before I even walked into that program, that that had happened for me. It was the openness and willingness finally to surrender. I feel like I was surrendering not just to not drinking, but surrendering to God, to allow him to work in my life, truly work in my life, and not try to do it Janice's way out of fear, resistance. You know, so I had that. I surrendered. I was open and willing for change. You know, that whole saying, like when change, staying the same is more uncomfortable than change is when we change.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was in that spot and I had the resources I needed, which was the inpatient treatment center to go to, and the support from the people that cared about me and the people in the treatment center that knew how to teach me about what I was struggling with, the connection with other people struggling with the same thing. And I think most importantly, the safety. Like as humans, we have to be safe, right? And I had to feel safe from myself so that I didn't trust myself not to go to a bar in 30 days if I were to be at home, you know? Okay. And I had never met a coach, you know, I didn't know there were sober coaches. I had no call, no show with my therapist because I wouldn't stop drinking. So what's the point in going? And so it was just a combination, you know, of just having the resources, the surrender and the safety and support to get the help I needed. And in that moment, I think is when just this giant shift happened. And it doesn't happen like that for everyone. And not everybody needs to go to treatment. I mean, like I said, I think that happened for me before I even stepped foot in there. But had I not gone to treatment, I'm not sure it would have turned out the same way. But yeah, that's my long answer to your question. No. That was the moment where it turned, you know, where it just took a turn for me. And don't get me wrong, I had a little, you know, that little doubt because our ideas about ourselves are based on the past. And in the past, I had said, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, or I'm going to stop drinking. And then obviously it didn't pan out that way. So I was like, well, what if we do all this and spend this money and I go here and, you know, what if I tell people I'm going and I go and then I don't stay sober, you know, just another failure. But I didn't really actually spend any time entertaining that thought. I just wanted to get better and I trusted it was going to happen, which is powerful because that wasn't the theme in my life up until then.
Well, I think what I really liked about what you said is, and I think there are a lot of people out there right now who are, you know, it would be hard for anyone to admit they're an alcoholic. And I think what you said was, that's just a word. I don't like to use that word. I think what I really liked is that your tattoo that said, you know, find joy in the journey. And for those of you out there who are struggling with alcohol or any substance right now, abuse, you know, this does not define your journey. You know, your book has not been written yet. You're still writing it. This is a chapter in your journey. It might be a low chapter, but it doesn't have to end this way. This is just a low part in your journey. And I really like the fact that you said none of us are alone in this. And I think so many people who face alcohol, substance abuse, whatever it might be, you know, they tend to think, oh, I'm a loser. Nobody else feels this way. Not unlike somebody who's gone through rape or molestation or abuse of some type. They feel like they're tainted because of the part of the journey that they're on or what they experienced as a child or at some point in their life. And in the reality, no matter what you're going through, there are hundreds of thousands, probably millions and millions of people going through the same thing right now. And you're not alone. And there are opportunities out there. There are options for you to, you know, just start thinking, is this how I want the journey to end? Or do I want this to be the low part that someday that I can look back on and say, you know what, that was a turning point in my life. And I really, really like that you're so passionate about sobriety and helping others to become sober and remain sober, but you do it in such a lighthearted fashion. And I think that's a very strong appeal for people, Janice, because you laugh and you talk with such a high-spirited compassion that it makes it like, hey, this isn't so bad. This isn't like some demon. I can do this because Janice did it, and look how happy she is. And you know, there was no shame in the way you communicated your journey, and there's no shame in the way I'm sure you coach your clients. And I think that's so powerful when you're dealing with something that's potentially so destructive in our lives, if done, you know, over, if not repaired and conquered at one point. So you said, and I want to repeat this, Janice, what you found that you needed is openness and a willingness to surrender to God. And I know there are some people out there may who not be faith-based, but you surrender to something. You maybe it's surrender to the universe, surrender to the universe, you know, whatever. You needed to realize that staying the same was more uncomfortable than changing and growing. You needed resources, support, and you needed safety from yourself. Would that encapsulate what you said?
Yeah, and just safety in general.
Safety in general, okay.
Yeah, safety where I was going, safety. Trusting myself and safety where I was going. Just, we all need to feel safe. Like, that's what I'm doing with this rescue cat. This is his third day in my apartment, you know, but I don't know what happened. And we found him by a trash compactor. You know, he's had a rough life. So in here, especially with Coda, he's getting adjusted. And my priority right now is to show them both that they're loved, to show them each other that they're safe with each other, and just let this cat know that this is his home. He's loved here and he's safe. And I feel like as humans, we need that, you know, especially people who've been through any kind of, you know, abuse or trauma or addiction issues, you know, like, I mean, all of us.
I couldn't agree more. And I think so. Let's say I'm a Bamboo Pack subscriber, member, listener today. And I say, well, I can't really do the 30-day thing. Maybe it's resource. Maybe it's money, finances. Maybe it's I can't get out of my job for 30 days. My family's. Would you say what alternate route would somebody have if that's the one thing they couldn't receive or they couldn't find in the things that you found to be helpful?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's so many options. I mean, if you wanted to go the treatment route, sometimes, you know, if it's really bad, I recommend if you know that, you know, this is life or death, you need to get out of your environment 100%. You know, there are state funded treatment centers that are inpatient. Do it. Just okay. Do it. Your okay. life will be there when you get back. So I do want to say that for anyone who knows someone who, you know, or is in themselves in that spot. The next step is like outpatient. And I ran, I did group facilitating for outpatient groups for a while. And I did outpatient myself. And I love that. It's like three nights a week or something. You go and spend a few hours with other people. So that's an option. But if you're not going to go the treatment route, there's so many others too. We've got therapy. There's coaches like myself that will walk you through your healing and growth process. There's a bunch of different 12-step fellowships. So you can look those up online, or I can send you a list if you want to reach out. But yeah, just find people so that have gone through the same thing so that you know that you're not alone. I mean, that makes a world of difference. And then others who are, you know, professionals, any professionals that understand what you're going through and how to help you through it.
Perfect. I love that. And I think that's so important. And something I was going to ask you earlier, how impactful or important do you think it is for your social group, your circle of influence, you know, your friends and family, for you to when you are going through a sobriety journey, how important is it for you to surround yourself with people who are also going through it or have gone through it? Is that a big impact, rather than just still hanging and associating with the same people who are partying every night or every weekend? Do you have to find that you separate from those people? Yeah, there I can hear Winston now.
Yeah, he's coming over I just had to walk over and take him out of the kitchen sink.
That's cute, man. He's got a new mommy, man. He doesn't want to be too far from his new mommy.
Yeah, he's wild. But yeah, about the people. So yeah, I mean, you just gotta, I think we all know with our intuition what's good for us and what's not. I mean, if we're trying to change our lifestyle habits, if we're trying to really turn our lives completely around, the bar probably isn't a great place to do it, you know, like, but we have to really think about what am I trying to create? Why do I want alcohol out of my life? What am I putting into my life? Right. So if we're just taking alcohol out and going through the same motions, like going to the bars and hanging with the same people, it's just going to feel empty, and we're most likely going to feel deprived and miserable. And this happens to a lot of people. So if I'm taking alcohol out, why am I doing that? And what do I want to create in my life? And how can I go get that? You know, and, you know, fill yourself with faith, with joy, with love. How can I serve others? Like, life is beautiful. And once we can work through the shame from the past and whatever it is that needs healing, we can create an absolutely joyous life. And so, yeah, I mean, nothing against the party friends, but, you know, choose who you surround yourself with wisely and who's along to create what you want to create in your life. So whatever that looks like for you. I mean, certainly you can't choose whether your family members are in addiction or not, and whether they're supportive or not, but you can certainly lead by example and stand firm in your convictions for what you want for yourself. And that is tough. So to have, you know, a 12-step fellowship, to have sober friends, to have a coach, all of those things will just really, really help you along your path to whatever it is that you're trying to create in your life.
I love what you just said
a
minute ago.
And that works for any change, right?
Pardon? Yeah, it does. You know, and that's one thing I work with a lot of my clients on, and I work on myself a lot is, you know, I do believe we become an average of the people we hang around with most in this world. And so you have to choose, you know, who do the people around you serve your purpose? And it's not to say, and I've been very, very vocal on this podcast in the past through my concept of people are either food and nourishing to you, or they toxic and poisonous to you. And I, for me, I've had to go through periods of my life where I've literally wrote down lists of food and poison people. And I will simply just, those toxic people, I will just tell them you're out of my life. And I will be that frank with them. You don't have to do that. People don't, you can just say, you know what, I need to associate more of my time, energy, and resources to people who serve my purpose, who are more like who I want to become, who help support me, they challenge me, they celebrate with me. And by doing that, naturally spending more time with those types of individuals, you're going to naturally have less contact with the people who are more toxic to you, who are their behavior and association might tear you down, because we only have so much time and energy in our life. So if you spend it with the people who are serving your purpose, you're going to spend less of the time who don't serve your purpose. So you don't have to be as frank as I've been, but you can just start finding people who are, hey, I like this person. This person, I feel good around them. I feel, you know, they're sober. They're not going to the bars on the weekend. We have fun doing other things. And I think that's a problem so often, Janice, is that when people are under the influence of alcohol, things are fun. Let's call it what it is, man. You're at a bar, music's playing, you're at a party, you're at a, wherever you are, and you're drinking, it just is, there's that dopamine is just shooting through your brain, man. It's fun. And I think people who think about sobriety, and you had mentioned this earlier, you couldn't imagine, like, it's hard to imagine life without alcohol, because it's like, now where do I get that dopamine? Where do I get that fun from? And there are so many other ways to do it, man. There are so many people out there who are living in a fulfilling life and fun life who are simply they're sober, they're alcohol free, they're drug free. And, you know, sometimes we have to associate with those people to really realize, and they can introduce you to activities, physical activities, intellectual activities, emotional activities, fun activities, you know, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Mel Robbins, in her books and podcasts, talks about this quite a bit, because she has fought with alcohol abuse in her life personally. And she's talked about how she's overcome that. And she's not alcohol free, but she's definitely alcohol controlled now. And so that's another source for people to go to, is any book by Mel Robbins, or listening to her podcast, which I believe is called the Mel Robbins Podcast. I listened to it today while I was rowing, actually, to one of her episodes on happiness. So anyway, thank you for that. So this is one of the jugular questions I ask, and you might have already answered it with my former question, but I'm going to ask it to you, Janice. What is the most difficult thing you've ever gone through in your life, and then how did you overcome it?
My toxic relationship with alcohol and an equally toxic relationship with an ex-boyfriend. And I think moving through both of those was very parallel, you know, very much the same. A lot of people don't realize when they get sober, it's like a breakup, you know, if they were over drinking, you know, or drinking alcoholically in any way, it is very much like a breakup out of an abusive relationship. And so I've been through both, and they were both shame-filled struggles at first, and not pleasant, but you know, I do believe that every experience happens for a purpose. You know, it just helps to ask, no matter what we're going through or what's being thrown at us or whatever challenges we're facing, if we just ask, what am I meant to learn from this? And what is this trying to teach me? Then we can get something from it. And for me, certainly everything I've been through for sure has, you know, culminated into my passion for helping others feel empowered in sobriety. Because like you said, like we think about drinking, making everything more fun. And, you know, and sometimes it definitely seemed like it did, of course, because of, you know, the dopamine and all of that. But it's a different type of fun now. And our dopamine levels do still have to level out. It is different type of fun. But we're able to remember it all. We're able to build connections with others. And it's just so much more fulfilling now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was going to say something else. Squirrel.
I don't mean to interrupt you, my friend. You know, I think you hear this so often. I know I have said it a lot, especially in my younger years, you know, wake up on a Sunday morning and say, I'll never drink again. And I think it's because that dopamine rush on that Saturday evening seems so fun at the time. And when you wake up to the reality of the dopamine is gone. And there are so many other ailments that are affecting the headaches, the body fatigue, the shame, the guilt, the wonder, what did I do last night? You know, and I think a lot of people can start to look at that. Remember the Sunday mornings when you're deciding whether you want to be sober, go sober and start that journey of sobriety, is don't remember the Saturday night. Remember the Sunday morning. Because that's the true abuse right there. It might not, when you're drinking, you don't notice the abuse of alcohol because the dopamine's being released and you're not really quite coherent. The abuse really hits you the next morning. You realize I was abused last night by the alcohol. And I think it's good to just remember those Sunday mornings quite often. I know that helped me a lot in the past is I don't want to do that again. No, I have not quit drinking. I've controlled it a lot more. And I'm more like you were, Janice, is I don't drink a lot, but when I do, you know, I'll sit in with my friends in at deer camp, or that's pretty much it, I guess, in the fall when we're together, and we'll sit and drink several beers, and it's fun at the time. And then the next day, I feel so much more sluggish. Now, when I wake up in the morning, I get up at 4:45 in the morning, and my day starts, and I just feel so clear-headed, and I get much more done. I'm by far more happier than I was during that time. And so it'll be a test this fall when deer season comes around and we gather again, because it'll be a test for me this year. Because like you, I think you had mentioned you had spent some time, you'd gone to jail from drinking. When I was in my college years, trust me, there were two nights that I woke up not under my own control in a jail cell because alcohol was related. Just for fighting. It wasn't like anything. I didn't kill anybody or anything like that, but you know, for fighting. But I was under the alcohol, the influence of alcohol, and those days still haunt me. And I don't say they're regrets because I don't regret much because I think it helped form me. But they were days I wish I could have. I wish I had better tools back then. That's a better way to put it. Okay, so now you've been sober for 5 years. Been on the sobriety journey for 5 years. You are helping so many people, especially you know through your coaching now through the podcast. And I'm assuming one day there's going to be a book written. If not, I'm going to really push you to start doing that. Be thinking about that if you haven't. But now that you're at this point, what's a win for you? What do you consider to be a victory or a triumph in life?
Oh man, every day there's little wins, you know, in a group of women that I'm in, we have a mastermind and we spend every day we write down the wins for the day. And, everything from the littlest things, like I got a note from someone yesterday, just someone I just basically spoke to briefly. And a friend said, hey, so-and-so was just talking about how smart and kind and whatever you are, like, thank you for being such a light, you know, just a message like that, you know, or win. Just knowing that because I'm sober, I can show up and shine God's light, shine my light, and try to brighten other people's day, you know, not being distracted by where I'm going. You know, where I'm going tonight for happy hour or being hungover and isolating, like I can just be a light, and that's any opportunity that I have to do that is a win. But seeing the light in other people's eyes, oh my gosh, that's indescribable. Like knowing that, just knowing anyone and playing even the tiniest part in someone really stepping into their own light, whatever that looks like, is a win for me. Just really anytime that I notice my mind going to a place that's not helpful, self-doubt or, the whole what's wrong with me story, just anything like that. And when I can turn it around and be like, nope, you know, it's all good. Like, just ground myself in belief, really, because if I fall into the self-doubt thoughts that I had back when I was drinking, you know, if I doubt myself now, that can take me back down. You know, if I believe and have faith that I was created exactly as I am for a reason, even with my squirrel brain, you know, all of it, everything that happened in my past, if all of it happened for a reason, then I believe I can create what I was made to do, you know, and I'm finding out more and more each day what that might look like. And to be in community with other people who are growth minded and, service minded and meeting people like you, it's just every day can be a blessing. And if we look for those blessings, which I've been doing with my girlfriends, it's crazy. They pop up every day. Awesome.
I think that's fantastic, but I want to give you a few more wins, because for the Bamboo Pack member out there, Janice has a Facebook site called The Sober Circle, Empowered and Alcohol Free. And I'm not going to give names, but I'm just going to read a couple of people who have been posting on here. I read this every day. One person said, I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Growth is growth. One day, 1 hour, 1 minute at a time. One person wrote, I woke up this morning with God in my heart. Prayers for my loved ones and will soon battle the rise and shine of his daughter. She doesn't quite attack the day like daddy, but we're working on it. Person is becoming sober. Another person wrote, feeling the love, feeling the coffee, positive attitude. These are, if you get on her, and I'm going to include a link to the Facebook site, The Sober Circle, and the URL to it. And just get on there and read some of the quotes. These are all quotes from people who are on the sobriety journey. And every one of them is just enlightening, inspiring, and empowering. And not everyone is, you know, some people are still struggling and they're talking about their struggle. This isn't not some Pollyannish Facebook site where everything is rosy and rainbows and butterflies and unicorns. People talk about their struggle on this thing, but you look at it and you just see the growth that they tell their stories. And I'm like, holy cow, what a story that is. So that's a win for you, Janice, because you're creating this platform for people to share their story and their wisdom and their struggles, man. You're changing lives. You are changing lives dramatically, man. It's so cool. I love this site. I love it.
Thank you. Oh, I love it too. That group has been such a blessing. I do want to start inviting more people to it. We started it in January of last year, and just the community, the culture of that group is definitely different than most of any of the other sober groups I'm on Facebook. I'm just so blessed to have the members that have become good friends in there. You know, it definitely lights me up, and I'm in there every single day with my people. So if anybody is sober, if any of you are sober or striving to live a sober life and you're on Facebook, please come join us. We would love to have you. It's called The Sober Circle, and I believe Brian will just share the link in the show notes.
Yeah, I will, because there's another one called The Sober Circle that is not the same, and I it's different. And I like this one.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. This one's The Sober Circle, Empowered and Alcohol Free, is the one that I think is what yours is. And it's just got great material on it. Oh, there's going to be an inclusion on in the show notes for sure on this link. So, okay. I love this question that I ask every guest. And I think it's probably my favorite question because it's fun. So, okay. I'm going to come down to West Palm Beach today and I'm going to bring my time machine, Janice. And we're going to zoom back to the day after you had that bad weekend. And you were at that moment had made a decision, or you're starting to formulate decision that I'm going to go on this sobriety journey, man. I'm changing my life. If you could sit down with that younger version of yourself 5 years ago on a park bench, and I'll just sit back and observe, what would you tell that younger version of yourself? What kind of words of wisdom, recipe for success, or advice would you give her?
Oh, You know, I think I would just tell her she's absolutely on the right track and reassure her that she can do this. I think that's the thing that's kept me back from anything I wanted to create in my life is the doubt. And I'm glad I didn't listen to it that day. And I would tell myself that, you know, things that I don't even know today, like that I could create anything that I wanted to create. Okay. And that sobriety is the best thing I could do for myself.
Okay, so I'm going to stop now and I'm going to talk directly to the audience. So if you right now feel like you have a struggle with alcohol, potentially other substances, look at the advice Janice would give her former self and give it to yourself right now. You're on the right track. And maybe you have not decided yet to quit drinking completely. Maybe you decide to slow down for a while and migrate off of it. Maybe you are just contemplating the concept, but it scares the hell out of you. I think I want to become sober. I want to get rid of this alcohol issue I have, this challenge. If you're there, you're on the right track. You can do this. I mean, ignore the doubt. Ignore it. That doubt is there. It's that damn comfort zone that we all have. And that comfort zone does not want to be stretched. It doesn't. We talked about this many times. The comfort zone is like those resistance bands. You can stretch a little bit and there's no resistance, but when you start pulling that resistance band, it gets a lot of tension because it wants to go back to its former self. You got to stretch that comfort zone and that rubber band until it breaks, until you have a brand new comfort zone that's much bigger and grandiose and more beautiful. So ignore the doubt. That's just your comfort zone, man. That's your ego talking. It wants to go back to where it was before. You can create anything you want to create. And that sobriety is the best gift you can give yourself. I think that's some amazing advice right there. And I think that your former self, obviously, maybe you wouldn't have listened then. I don't know. But I think that advice, we just gave that advice to those individuals out there who are contemplating going on a sobriety journey. So I think that's amazing, empowering advice for them. You know what, too, Janice, I've had the honor of talking to so many people on this podcast. I think now this is 79, 80, I'm not sure, in the last 15 months or so. And it's so amazing how these people that I've spoken with, so many of them have talked about their struggles with alcoholism at one point in their life. People, oh, Winston liked that.
He's coming up on my
lap. I'm just so, we're listening. I'm so proud of you, Mom. But, you know, so many people who I had no idea, you know, CEOs and authors and thought leaders around the world that I brought on here who have said, you know, and some of them on air, some of them off air, but a lot of them on air talked openly about their issues and challenges they've had with alcohol. So alcohol doesn't have to be, and it's not. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic status, your education. It doesn't mean you're weak. I mean, a lot of people face this demon, man. A lot of people do. And the advice Janice just gave herself is advice you can give yourself to help you kind of begin that journey. All right. So Janice, what's next for you?
Oh, well, you know, I'm a student of this stuff. So I imagine in 10 years, obviously things will evolve. But right now I just see that I love to teach and I love to learn. So I think I would take everything I've learned from my various certifications and create my own certification to help create more mission-driven coaches to help more people, and then have a nonprofit where I can donate scholarships, like coaching scholarships, to men and women in recovery who want to become coaches. I just think that would be really exciting.
Wow. Yeah. Man, that was very specific.
It's literally what has been coming to my mind when I think about the future. So we'll see. Maybe a book. My mom has said that too.
I think your style, Janice, would lend itself very well to the written word because, number one, you don't fit. When somebody would look at you, that's not what they see as a person who suffered with alcohol challenges in her past. And then you come at it with this very lighthearted, sincere, positive, hope-filled method and style. I think people need to hear that, man. I think if you don't write a book or make an amazing podcast, and I know of one guy who would become a guest on it right away, It's the guy on the microphone right now. I'd love to be a guest on your future podcast. I think you're cheating the world. Oh, I think if you don't do something right. like that, you're going to cheat the world, man. A lot of people need you. We got to get you out there.
All right. We'll do a podcast. We'll start there.
And I'm going to continue to text you and nudge you on both of those things. I'll be patient, but it'll be like one of my clients. I'll do it so long and I'll be so annoying that they just finally do it.
No, I do. That does appeal to me. So thank you for that. And I will put you on my podcast. You'll be number one.
Oh, I love it. All right.
You know what I was thinking too? I know we already answered this question, but when you asked about what I would say to myself, you know, when I was going 5 years ago before I went to treatment, I had mentioned earlier that I had always craved freedom. And then I saw that pattern all through my drinking career. And I think that's a big thing, too, for a lot of people, just thinking that, you know, if you're going to stop drinking, it's going to deprive you and then you're not free to do what you want. And I really thought that drinking and the freedom to do whatever I wanted and the freedom to drink however much I wanted to be, quote unquote, normal and drink like a normal person however much I wanted. And to me, that was freedom. But I ended up being caged by it. You know, it really kept me from myself. It really did. It was like I was holding myself in my own prison. And so I didn't know in that moment that I decided to really commit to sobriety. I didn't know that I was actually going to feel true freedom. So that would really be something I would certainly tell myself is that this is true freedom. It's real freedom, you know? Being free from that. Yeah, like that, what we were saying earlier, liberated from the obsession to drink. It's the freedom of knowing you never needed it, genuinely feeling like you don't want to go back to it. Alcohol was just keeping me, quote unquote, safe from having to feel uncomfortable feelings that I didn't want to feel and, you know, a host of other things. But it's just something we use in order not to feel emotions. That's not freedom.
And I think that's very true. And I could even speak for myself.
Just throwing it out there.
You know, I think probably during COVID, that first few months of COVID, when I realized, my gosh, I'm sitting here drinking beer, talking on the phone with friends, and I'd look down, there'd be 12 beer cans at my, you know, on the stand of my chair. And it did seem like, okay, that's freedom, man. And we're having great conversations. Things are flowing. I'm laughing. I'm saying, you know, I'm more creative. I'm funnier. And in reality, it was just a complete lie, because what I thought was my freedom was really just my jailer. It was enslavement. And, you know, like I said, waking up in the morning with clarity in your head and peace in your heart and energy in your body, that is freedom, man. I think today's podcast is definitely going to be titled. I think I always look for titles when you know, based on what my guests say. I think Sobriety is True Freedom is a great title.
And you do it.
I'm going to do it. Unless you think there's a better one, you can text me a better one.
No, it is. Sobriety is True Freedom. Like, I always say, love the life you got sober for. I mean, freedom, passion, and purpose are the three big things I really want to help my clients find in sobriety, you know, because you don't feel that on day one of sobriety. Usually it takes a little bit, but it's true freedom.
It is. It truly is. Okay. My last question for you, Janice, is there any question that you would like me to have asked you or any final message you'd like to leave with the Bamboo Pack audience?
I don't think there's any questions you missed. I really appreciated everything we discussed. I do want to share with the audience that if there's any area of struggle that's been weighing on you, whether it be an addiction of any kind, a mental illness, past trauma, or if you're feeling stuck in any pattern, you're not alone. I know we mentioned this earlier, but nothing is wrong with you. Don't listen to that voice, because we all have our stuff. Just we mostly don't share it with everybody. There's a lot of people out there with careers dedicated to helping you, including myself. So whether you're interested in coaching or you need help locating other resources, I'm a message away. So please reach out to me at any time. And again, if you're on Facebook and you're sober, or trying to get sober, I would love for you to join my community. You guys are loved. You are special. You are worthy. And I'm so glad to be here growing with all of you.
Wow. Maybe the most impactful final message ever said on this Bamboo Lab podcast. You are loved. You are special. What was the third one? You are loved. You are special.
I hear things out of my mouth. When you do. So I don't know.
Well, we can always go back and rewind and replay. You know, so everyone out there, Janice is rebuilding her website. So when this goes live on the 20th, which you guys by now it's live, it will not be included. But when it is fixed and or up, when the new website is up and running, I will go back and include the link. So come back and visit us here in a few weeks. The link will be included. But in the meantime, I will include a link to the Sober Circle, the proper one on Facebook, as well as a link to her social media sites so you can connect with Janice. I think she's an incredible resource, as you can see. And to me, this is the way people should be working with people who are trying to go on that sobriety journey, because the way her style is and her compassion and her care and her purpose. So connect with her. Maybe it's Janice you work with. Maybe she can give you a resource, but I think this is the first step. So with that being said, Janice, I can't share with you how important this podcast, I think, is for so many people out there. And whether it's someone who is going through alcohol challenges themselves, has in the past, or maybe a loved one is, and they just want to know what some resources are, and they kind of want to learn a little bit more about it. This was the perfect podcast. So from the bottom of my heart, I just want to thank you for being such an inspiring, hope-filled, amazing, impactful guest on the Bamboo Lab podcast.
Oh, it's been a genuine pleasure. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So we're going to talk for a couple minutes after we sign off, please, Janice. So stay with us. Bamboo Pack audience out there, again, I thank you so very much. And I want you to stop and think about this podcast a little bit. Rewind, replay, take notes if you'd like. But really, if you feel like sobriety is your next step and it's the next part phase in your journey, the next chapter in your book, reach out to Janice. Click on the links in the show notes. They're right there. It's a one-click away. You can see how accepting she is and how personable she is. You're going to get a very, very fair, beautiful response from her. And in the meantime, please get out there, click that like button, please subscribe to our podcast. We're going to start lowering a little bit. We're going to start kind of increasing advertisers. I'm sorry. We got some advertisers who came in, some bigger ones who requested to come on board. We're going to start doing that sometime in the near future. So we really need to bring on more amazing people like all of you who want to learn how to sculpt their lives. So please do so, and please share this with three people this week. You know within your ranks there are three people who could really, really benefit from this life-changing message that we had today that Janice shared. In the meantime, please, everybody, we'll see you next week. Get out there, sculpt your life. Please, please live to that highest potential level of your true peak level. Strive for that and inspire the world. I appreciate each and every single one of you.